How do you measure yourself with other golfers?
By height.
It's a very, very special honor.
I'm Paula Creamer, and you're listening to Golf Talk Live.
Well, we're waiting.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, a.k.a. John Kreese from Cobra Kai, and you're listening to Golf Talk Live.
And welcome to another episode of Golf Talk Live, the 19th hole. I am Alan DeHue, and I am joined by Christian Nazamas.
Gentlemen.
And Andrew DeHue. I think that's over you there. You've got like hair on your lip or something. You trying to grow a stash?
I figure if Ricky Fowler can wear the mustache and look good doing it, I should try. So clearly it's not working because you guys are both shaking your head no. So that'll be shaved off after this episode here real quick.
Go for it. I mean,
I have no comment.
Your no comment is comment. That's all I got to say.
I like it. It's great. All right.
That's the first real laugh I've had all day. I'm just kidding. You know, Andrew, you still look like a stud always. All right.
I don't want your pity. I don't want your pity. All right. Yeah. I did it.
If he wanted to talk about pity, he'd go to the putting stroke. I once again am not allowed to this year. It's a New Year's resolution.
If I'm being honest with you both, I have the hat on for a reason tonight. The reason I have the mustache is everyone then is looking down
to take your eyes, off your butchered haircut.
Yeah, the butchered haircut that Supercuts gave me, you know, and I will shamelessly plug them for their.
Now you gotta take the hat off because I gotta see the haircut.
Oh, it's bad.
I said, and I quote, I want a zero halfway up on one side, up to a one, and then, you know, blend it in on the other side because I throw it over, as you know. And
you have a nice high and tight mohawk going on.
You know what? Christian wasn't in here. Hold on.
Hey,
this thing is legitimately, and the worst part, you can't really see it in the dark. This side, right? She buzzed it all the way up to like halfway through my skull. And then the other side, she decided to like buzz a zero all the way up. So yeah, needless to say, I'll be wearing hats for the next about month.
All right. So, just to recap, in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, excuse me, we have had cooking tips by Andrew, and now we have haircuts by Andrew.
This is a golf podcast, though. This is a golf podcast.
It is a golf podcast, and I'll tell you what, there is no golf podcast, there is no golf radio, there is no golf sports coverage, and for that matter, world coverage that does not touch on the very topic that I'm going to bring up because it's the golf world revolving around it. And we're obviously speaking about the accident of Tiger Woods in California on Tuesday morning, where all reports are that speed was an influence. That there will be no charges, as the latest from the LA County Police. Purely an accident, quote unquote, is what they're saying.
I saw a report that said that he had swerved to try to not make contact with somebody else, lost control, and obviously, unfortunately, the rest is history. It's absolutely terrible. It's something that, you know, as a golf fan, golf lover, and more importantly, a diehard Tiger fan, I lost the worlds. That's all I can say. I mean, you see the level of impact that Tiger Woods has on the game, not just, you know, with fans, but with players alike, JT, Spieth, so many guys putting out, you know, messages and, you know, about thinking for his family. JT literally breaking down in an interview, and it got very.
I think Rory said it best. At the end of the day, he's still a human being, and the reality is, and I'm paraphrasing, but you know, golf is secondary in this conversation, and you got to be thinking of Sam. You got to be thinking of Charlie. You got to be thinking of his family and close friends like a JT and what have you. And for those of us that are outside, you know, from the golf perspective, I'm not going to lie. I feel like I just watched the end of Tiger's career. I hate to say it that way, but the reports are an iron rod in his tibia, screws in his foot and ankle because it was shattered. One of them was a compound fracture. The sheriff's deputy that reported was first on the scene said he's lucky to be even be alive. Christian, what say you?
You're really at a loss of words, honestly. It kind of goes to show you how short life is. And obviously, first and foremost, we hope that he has a speedy recovery. Somebody that is so well-liked on and off the golf course for what he's done. I mean, golf wouldn't be where it is today without Tiger. That's first and foremost. I mean, you're talking about the PNC a few weeks ago when he was playing with Charlie. I mean, not only are we looking at the future of golf, but we're looking at Tiger just being not the golfer that we always known, always watching him on TV. We're watching him be a dad, yeah. You know, and that's just something that is priceless. And just seeing that happen to him yesterday, I mean, it's emotional because it's like, you know, we almost lost another one. And it's something that somebody like that caliber, you know, it's like when we lost Kobe last year, that the whole world stopped for a second. And if that happened again to Tiger, thankfully it didn't, but it's just tough to put into words. I mean, I'm glad he's okay. I'm glad he'll make a full recovery from this, but it's just, oh man, I hope his career's not over. And if there's one person you can never count out, it's Tiger Woods.
Absolutely. And I don't want to,
I'll put it this way. 2 days, I don't know if you guys saw the post, but 2 days prior to the accident, you know, we're talking about a guy that had a surgery not too long ago before this, right? And
back surgery.
Two days prior to the event, again, I don't know if you guys saw this post. I was fortunate. He was out playing golf with David Spade, the comedian. And
he had a lesson yesterday with Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
2 days ago with Dwayne Wade.
And he was on
his way to a lesson again yesterday.
And so you look at guys that are professional athletes and – like you said, Christian, there's a one guy that I would say you can never count out. It's that gentleman right there. Yep. However, for obvious reasons, I look at it as it may be, and not because we want that to happen by any means, but just at what point does your body break down to the point he's just not able to compete? We don't know that answer. I mean,
yeah.
You could obviously speak about this dad more, but I mean, the first thing that came to my mind is the Ben Hogan accident and how it changed his career entirely. And I actually was sitting at work when this happened and you know, one of my coworkers came over, cause obviously I'm the golfer of the group on our staff. And they go, well, what do you think about this? And I was like, well, this is eerily similar to the Ben Hogan accident that, you know, pretty much ended his, and I don't want to obviously have that happen. So it's
I mean, look, Tiger's 45. He's not getting any younger. I know. And it sucks to say it like that, but you know, it's two different ways here, right? Tiger can then, when he's finally ready, I mean, they're already talking about, he can't even put weight on his feet for probably a few months. And then they're talking upwards of a year for rehab, right? Yep. He's got to really think to himself, is golf really going to be worth it to make it a comeback to right away? Or should I be focusing more on family right now? Now, granted, he still has a Champions Tour if you ever want to pursue that down the road. Okay. But I'm talking from a PGA Tour standpoint. It's either like, you know, we can hope and pray that he comes back and tries to win another golf tournament on the PGA Tour, because that would be one hell of a story. I mean, if he won the Masters in 19, this story would top it, obviously. Okay. He ever came back to win a major, let alone a golf tournament, you know, but Tiger has more money than he knows what to do with. Money's not an issue for him. He needs to really realize that, you know what, maybe I should just go pursue teaching golf, go play golf for fun, not try to be competitive again moving forward, because look at those last five seasons. I mean, we haven't seen a healthy Tiger Woods in the last few years.
I mean, if you want to be honest, he had about a 6 month stretch.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, 6 months.
Right. Here. This is the really crazy part. We're talking about it in the context of, you know, I think we as fans need to appreciate that we'll never see 2000 again. We'll never see 2005. We'll never, you know, but the reality is, I don't have it in front of me. Last I looked, he's like in around 50, 50. he's still in the top 100, and he's not bringing his quote-unquote A game. And on any given moment, you can't count him out still. Is he going to be the best? No. That six-month stretch, tour championship, winning at Augusta, I honestly think that maybe for a stretch there, the fear factor, because Tiger was lurking once again. And Christian, I agree with what's next for him? We first of all, none of us are in the hospital room, so we don't know how we've got the reports, but we don't know really how bad it is.
We don't know how bad it is, so only time truly will tell. I think if it's me and I'm Tiger, I'm looking at this as I have one goal in mind, and that's to find one tournament that I can win to finally break the record, and then I hang it up. That's my personal belief. I still think the competitive drive to break the all-time record is what will drive him to come back. Do I think he will become even more selective and try to keep it to courses that are just literally his back of hand, like, knowledge? Absolutely.
I think he only comes back and plays the majors and maybe like plus one.
If that, but I think Tiger, in my personal opinion, if he's smart with this, I think he's done for the next 2 years, in my personal opinion.
Without a question.
And if he tries to make a comeback, but it goes back to what we've been saying. Tiger, and just the name itself, what he's done for the game of golf. If Tiger sucks in a tournament, he's dry. I mean, you know where Tiger is on a golf course the minute he steps foot on the first tee. Whether he's plus 20 or whether he's minus 20, you know where Tiger Woods is, right? Tiger's done so much for the game, again, but – I think Tiger, knowing Tiger, he wants to beat Jack, right? Obviously, they're good buddies and whatnot, but deep down, Tiger wants that record, right? Tiger wants that major record. I don't know if Tiger will ever win a major.
I think it validates being the GOAT.
I think it validates it. I don't think he'll ever, at this point now, given what just has now even expired, I don't think that will ever happen, which is where I go back to. Tiger, if it's me and if I'm Tiger, I'm looking at it as I got to get one tournament. I don't care what tournament it is. I got to get one, because now I can have the argument if I ever, which again, we're talking about this as someone who we have no idea what goes into Tiger's head. Right. But if it was me, I can at least then make the argument, you know what? I was the best of all time because I had more wins than he did. And I had almost the same number of majors. If you go and add some of the U.S. amateurs, he's even closer to you know, the all-time record, that because people have made that talk about, well, the amateur was a major, and that needs to be included. Well, Tiger's then even closer. So
I don't even know, like, this, like, and the way I look at it too is that Tiger doesn't owe anybody an explanation on beating 18. He's doing it for himself.
Yep.
You know, obviously he's a Hall of Famer, no questions asked.
We'll probably touch on it a little bit later. I certainly got to. It was actually going to be a big topic of mine tonight, but our show notes obviously got trashed with the events yesterday. But Annika didn't owe it to anybody to come back. She's playing this week at Lake Nona at her home course. She owed it to no one. She literally just wanted her children to see her play competitively.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what,
you saw, I think the golf world saw a different side of Tiger Woods embracing Charlie. And if you're a parent, you're out there listening, you play golf with your kid. I'm fortunate to be doing this with my kid and my other knucklehead that we occasionally play golf with. You can't appreciate it until you see your children succeed. The pure joy that was in that guy's eyes, just seeing Charlie succeed at the PNC. That's what it's about for him, I think.
That's what it's ever about, and that's priceless. There's no price on that. It's just like you see that as a father, and it's like Andrew and I haven't experienced it yet. I mean, but like when we get there one day, it's just, words can't even describe to you what it's going to feel like, because it's a priceless moment. And I don't know. I mean, Tiger, knowing Tiger, he may want to owe it to Charlie to try to go out there and win one more. If it's one more major, I don't know.
Andrew, you referenced it because it was the first thing multiple people. I actually happened to be on the phone with Tony Leodora, other co-host, who will be joining us shortly, from another on the road traveling golfer location. But I was literally on the phone when it popped up on my screen, and I was like, oh my God. And first thing Tony said is, we're going to have a Ben Hogan story. So Ben, but let me just say this. Here's the differences. Modern medicine today versus modern medicine when Ben Hogan, who, by the way, was literally pronounced dead. It went out across the wire that he had died on that road in Texas. He was 36 at the time. Tiger's 10 years his senior, basically.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
but so, and before, I don't want to cut you off. My only take real quick on your first point, though, he's 10 years older. Yes, modern medicine has gotten way, way, way better, obviously. But he is 10 years older. He's had way more injuries. I look at when the first thing that I heard when I heard that ran through my head is the irony of the comparison to Hogan and what now has just transpired. And it only ran through my head only because of my middle name. I mean, I'll be honest, but it's the first thing I thought of. And if you really and this is not a knock on anybody that may not know the full story, because obviously I have a reason to know it, being that I'm your son and my middle name is after the guy. But to understand the eeriness of the comparisons of just like legs being broke, like literally people thought that Tiger was not going to live. Now, obviously, he's become stable. Like, again, there's just so many things that it just ran through my head of like, oh, my goodness, like. If Tiger comes
and
back.
And to clarify for the listeners, your middle name is Hogan.
Yes. Yeah.
And I named you Hogan because I'm a massive Hogan fan.
Yes. Obviously, given your memorabilia on the wall.
This is true.
But I like Christian, you said it earlier. If this guy, and who has no reasons to, I mean, he has none to, and he doesn't owe it to anybody to come back. But if this guy came back in one, I don't care if he ever breaks the all-time major record. He is the greatest of all time because he's come back.
If he does come back and wins, he does.
I bet you right now, if he came back to win, if it was a Valero Texas Open or if it was Augusta, I guarantee you, hands down, in my lifetime, greatest, not even comeback of all time. It would be the greatest story across all sporting events, in my personal opinion.
I'm a hockey guy, so I'm going to beg to differ on the heels of
okay, Miracle of Ice. If it's not the top story, it'll be probably hands down.
Without question. If you see the old footage of Hogan waddling, basically, to try to make it around a golf course, the man used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to wrap his legs before he could go out to play.
Absolutely. And like also too, and I don't know if this has been said enough as it is, but we also want to thank the first responders for getting there as soon as they did. I mean, some people are saying that I've read reports that like, you know, if they got there 5 minutes later, Tiger could have been dead. Well,
obviously they used the jaws of life. He was trapped in the vehicle. One of them was a compound fracture. And you know, here's where I'm going to say luck. If that hits a vein, if it hits an artery in his leg, he bleeds out. I hate to say it.
They were there 6 minutes after the initial call was taken.
God bless them.
Which is already phenomenal as it is, right? And the first responder, the officer, was having conversations with him. He knew who he was right away. But you know what? That first responder stayed to his course. He stayed to the questions that were being asked and everything like that. And then they ended up taking him to UCLA, and thankfully he's okay. But
to your point, 13, the police chief today, 13 accidents on that stretch of road. Right in that very spot in the last, I think it was like 9-12 months.
Yeah, so it's crazy.
They even had an accident because the people were looking at the accident that had occurred.
Yeah.
That same day.
Yeah. So anyway, I think we all, and the golf community, Tiger, we wish you a speedy and recovery for your family and for you. Our prayers are with you.
Absolutely. Now, so let's get to some more positive manner.
We're going to talk about your putting stroke?
We are going to talk about my putting stroke.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about how
I don't know if that's positive, to be honest with you.
It's positive because it's getting better, and it's perfectly getting better, if I might add, only because of our good friends.
I mean, wait a minute. I hate to say it this way, and Lord, please don't strike me down for saying this. It was a train wreck or a car wreck beforehand. So, yeah, I'm glad it's getting better.
Listen, it's getting better. It's perfectly getting better only because of our good friends over at Perfect Practice Putting Mats. Good friends. We've had him on the show, co-owner and founder Ed Mulatto. He has been able to work with us on so many awesome little things that we have in the works here moving forward. But our biggest one was obviously our success and our original relationship with them with the Perfect Practice Putting Mat, which has gotten my ability to try it out for myself. Obviously, we joke about my putting stroke being terrible. It's a great way to practice. I've said this every single show, and I'll continue to say it till, you know, I'm blue in the face. This is the way that you're going to get better at putting. It has lines. It has distances. It has everything you need to truly work on your putting stroke. And the only way you're going to do it at a discounted rate is by using our code GTL15. Again, that's GTL15 for 15% off. They have the XL version. They have the normal standard version. They even have a little small compact version, all of which can be rolled up and literally taken anywhere in the entire United States and in the entire world. So if you got to get some last minute practice before your big match or before your big golf road trip, whatever you may need, throw it in the bag. Make sure to use it. It does work. I'm telling you. Again, use our code GTL15 for 15% off today, and you will start finding yourself getting better too. So,
and the virtual 19th hole door opens. You never know who walks in. It's the traveling golfer himself, Tony Leodora.
Well, hello, guys. How are you? And look who's behind door number three. It's nice to step into the 19th hole with you guys every once in a while, even if I am following up a rather serious discussion about Tiger Woods and his latest woes, the traffic accident. And of course, everybody's concerned about him and hope he makes a full recovery. The thought could not escape my mind shortly after I heard the whole thing of, do we have a second chapter of the great Ben Hogan story? And of course, his comeback from his car accident.
Tony, we were literally just saying that. I was telling the guys that you and I were actually on the phone when the news came across the ticker about it happening, and that's the very first thing you said.
Yeah, it could never escape me because that was such an incredible story, and of course his comeback at Marion. I wrote so much about it. Not that I was there in 1950, but in the subsequent U.S. Amateurs and Opens at Marion, those stories just came up and came around. And of course, the connection to Hogan was that one of our great female amateurs from the Philadelphia area, Isabella Delisio, who went on to star at Notre Dame and now is enjoying life in the corporate world and playing out of Philadelphia Cricket Club. But her grandfather caddied for Hogan in
good deal.
So quite a story. But at any rate,
there's another great story being written that was kind of came about out of the blue.
Yes, it sure did. The WGC Championship, scheduled to be played in Mexico, moved out of there for COVID reasons to beautiful, safe Florida, where, knock on wood, we continue to come out of the pandemic quicker than much of the rest of the country and getting vaccinated more than rest of the country. So please, hopefully that continues. But they moved the event to the Concession, a relatively new golf course in the Sarasota area, co-designed by Jack Nicklaus and Tony Jacklin. Therefore, the name, the Concession, in tribute to the 1969 Ryder Cup, in which Jack Nicklaus ended that competition with one of the great gestures of sportsmanship, conceding about a 3-foot putt to Tony Jacklin on the final hole that forged a tie in that Ryder Cup. Of course, in the case of a tie, the cup stays with the previous champions, and that was America. So it did not cause a change in hands of the Ryder Cup, but still, it was a great gesture.
Well, how do you think the guys are going to hold up this week at Concession? You think they're going to like it more? I know a lot of guys like going down to Mexico City and playing down there. I mean, it was one of their favorite spots to go to, so I was just curious.
Yeah, the concession course is, under normal conditions, a very difficult golf course. If the wind comes up at all, then it's beyond difficult. I ran a couple of competitions there a few years ago, and we brought down a couple squads of good amateur players, and we played for a few days there, and we did it 2 years in a row and stayed in the big mansions. This is when the concession club was new, and we stayed there in these big 8-bedroom mansions, whatever. We had a blast.
You're living the good life.
Living the good life, but it was without a doubt one of the 5 most difficult golf courses I ever played in my life. Just off the top of my head.
Well, Tony, do you think Andrew would have a good putting day there or no?
Well, let me tell you this story. This will make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. These good amateurs, in each of the years, there's one particular hole that has basically a trough in it that is sort of a collection area. And if they put the hole location anywhere near that, the ball goes into that trough and runs right off the side of the green and down a hill. In each of the 2 years, a number of these good players on different days had putts on that hole where they putted not only off the green, but into the water.
Wow. What you're saying is no. You could have just been nicer about it.
Yeah, that
no.
was like, that was a nice, yeah. So I don't think Andrew had
that
a
That was a yeah. That was an elongated way of saying, Andrew, you're screwed.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the take that I got out of that one real quick. But
Andrew, do not feel special. And nobody did well on those. And those greens are extremely difficult. That's just the final exclamation point to that course. But when I say it's in the most difficult I've ever played, I'm talking about the Pete Dye course at French Lick, Carnoustie, PGA West. And Pine Valley. So, this is right up there with the 5 most difficult golf courses that I've ever played. And I'm only at 870 so far that I've played. So, believe me, it is quite a challenge.
You need to make your own app of just the rankings. That way we know which ones to stay away from for my own sanity on the putting greens.
right. But it's going to depend on the wind. Today was a very benign day in the Sarasota area, but that can change quickly. And the amazing thing, a little side story of the concession from when we made those trips down there, we did a Golf Talk Live radio show from there, and I had none other than Paul Azinger as my guest. Paul lives in the Bradenton, Sarasota area. And he talked about the Ryder Cup that had just finished right around that time. I think it was 2006, maybe 2008, I forget. But it was the one that was captained by Corey Pavin. And it was the one immediately following the Ryder Cup that was captained by Azinger when he changed the equation for putting a team together tremendously and reversed the bad fortunes that the U.S. team had had for a number of years and had a very dramatic win. And at that time, we said, well, wait a second. You know, they hear that they took a step back under Corey Pavin. Didn't he confer with you? He said, no. He said, as a matter of fact, never called me, never talked to me. I sent out something after congratulating him on there. And if you ever want to discuss, but he never talked to him at all, and Azinger sort of threw him under the bus, and it made national headlines.
I'll tell you what, Azinger had a way of calling it like he saw it.
Yeah. No question about it, and that's what made him good on television. And,
And Tony, just because here, for the last couple of weeks, these two have been busting on my age. Andrew's telling me I can't hit it more than 225 anymore. Paul Azinger was a professional golfer, you young guys.
Okay.
Hey, I hit it 225, and I'm 24 years old. So,
well, you're hitting a 225 though with like a 3-iron. He's hitting 225 with his driver. So, I mean, you know, there's a big difference between that.
Well, it's not all about just busting it at the concession club, as you'll see this week. And as I say, co-designed by Nicholas and Tony Jacklin. Jacklin still lives in the Bradenton area. He actually lives right on one of the fairways of Bradenton Country Club, not far at all from the concession.
Right.
A great old Donald Ross golf course that he did a – they had a couple of renovations done on it, but he did the most recent. And it is what a fun golf course to play. I took golf writer Mike Kern there a few years ago, and he didn't want to leave. He's still talking about the place. It's such a fun, really good Jack Nicklaus course. So,
Tony, you've been asking all the questions. I gotta get my questions. Very often we get to be honored by Tony on the show. All right, so let me get some questions in here too. So, Tony, my picks, Lise. You know, we do these picks every week. So my picks have flat out stunk. I gotta be honest. So I need your opinions. What's the type of player I need to be looking for?
Are you trying to get inside information?
Absolutely, I'm trying to get inside.
I don't know. It's not going to help anyways. All right, this is the same guy who picked Phil at Pebble. All right.
Listen, Ricky. Ricky's going to make the guy right now, make the cut. And Tiger, you know, misses it. So,
yeah, don't pick Tiger this week. you're asking the guy who last week in the Pick Your Pro contest for the ING had Bryson DeChambeau, who missed the cut last week. So I don't know.
I was just hoping you had some insider tips or tricks of, you know, is it going to be a good ball striking week? Is it going to be a good short game?
Tony, you got to go ahead. Answer that. Then I got another question.
Yeah, the guy who's going to win is a guy who can manage his game. You can't make mistakes on this golf course. It's somewhat Pine Valley-esque in that when you make a mistake, especially on a second shot, it's not bogey, it's double bogey.
I'm excited. It's going to be a good tournament.
I'm making notes, guys. I'm not lying.
No, I already got the winning pick, and I'll say it a little later.
I've got the winning pick as well. But, Tony, Valspar's coming up also, right?
Yeah, we have media day on Monday for the Valspar Championship up at, one of the great resorts in America where they have four golf courses, including the Copperhead course that – they play the Valspar on. So we'll be there talking to the people getting ready for the Valspar. And I love that golf course. And I love the competition there every year because it's another golf course where you really have to manage your ball around there. And that's why you've had champions like Jim Furyk, you know, over the years and some of the other players who, Casey,
Paul Casey.
Paul Casey, who yep. threw their way around the golf course a little bit. So, you know, it's a great track, and we'll be there in a couple. And it's, you know, the real part of this Florida swing, and I hate to say it, but, you know, I really am just too much of an Easterner. I never felt that the golf season really got underway until we got the Florida swing going. And I don't disagree.
I think it has to do with the fact that, you know, the Players is about to happen, and that takes you then to the Magnolia Lane.
This is when it all begins. And trust me, the excitement's been building in the Sarasota area. We had the Corn Ferry tournament at Lakewood Ranch last week. Some people got out there to watch it in person. They're going to be live spectators, not that many, but again, live spectators out at the concession this week for the WGC. And it just has people in a bit of a golf frenzy down here. That and other, the fact that, you know, the weather's incredible and we've been able to play every day. So
yeah, we appreciate that reminder. Thanks.
I remind you that there's like a foot of snow on the ground up here.
I hear you.
First you rag on my putting, and now you're going to give me the bad news of, you know, you getting to play golf.
Don't even rag on your putting, Andrew. He just simply told you that.
He said it nicely. I'll give him credit. But
you would not fare well at concession. I think that's just reality.
But I said, don't feel special. Nobody fares well there. It's a tough golf course. I'm telling you. I'll tell you what. I know my putting game's not ready for it.
We should probably take a step away to another great golf course here in the Philadelphia market that hopefully will be out from under the snow in the not so distant future. We're talking about your good friends over at Mainland, my friends over at Mainland, Mainland Golf Course, right off of 476.
Conveniently located in Harleysville, just off the Lansdale exit of the Northeast Extension, the player-friendly Mainland Golf Course offers excellent playing conditions at affordable rates. It is a perfect host site for your next corporate outing. And after each round, the golf experience at Mainland Golf Course can be enhanced by visiting the Mainland Grill, serving lunch and dinner daily. For more information, go to mainlandgolf.com. And don't forget their sister courses, Bella Vista Golf Course in Gilbertsville and Morgan Hill in Easton.
And we are back, and boys, the man's always on the move. He's traveling. Tony Leodora pops in, enjoys a beverage, gives us some insight. Basically, Christian tells us Andrew can't putt the greens a concession. He's out the door again and on the road traveling.
Listen, hey, pay for my beer before he just hurts me and walks out the door. It's unbelievable.
Hey, I'm just saying, if Alan and I can't bust on Andrew first putting, I'm glad Tony did. So
I almost couldn't control myself.
Well,
I loved it.
You know, the guys that apparently need to control themselves are playing at concessions, according to Tony. Guys, it's our favorite time of the week, if you ask me, because this makes we get to chat about this for the rest of the weekend. Dad, we have our Vegas Insider picks coming up and lines brought to you by, obviously, Vegas Insider. So who do we got this week and where they're at?
Before I go there,
okay,
I'm going to give you the opportunity to bask in the sunshine of Tony Finau almost getting it done for you last week. I mean, okay, now that's over. Let's go to what our good friends at VegasInsider.com is telling us. Folks, here's the line this week at concession for the World Golf Championship, Workday Championship. Obviously, when the world number one shows up, he's the number one favorite. 6-1 odds. John Rahm, 11-2 odds. Xander Schauffele, 14-1. Rory, 16-1. And then you've got three, JT, Patrick Cantlay, and Tyrrell Hatton, all at 18-1. What do you think, boys?
Really
stacked. I'm I don't know.
I'm actually surprised at those numbers, and I'll tell you why. I'm shocked that Rory and JT are not at the same line level, and a guy like Tyrrell Hatton is at the same level as Cantlay. And
how can you not have Tyrrell Hatton here? He matches DJ as the only player in the world. He's had the most wins other than DJ worldwide.
I was going to say, Tyrrell's been playing phenomenal this year.
I'm saying it from like a overall world golf ranking standpoint. JT and Rory should be together in a betting odds, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, again, Hatton, yes, has had a phenomenal go. But I don't see him – if I'm going to go, and I know we've had this discussion before, and I've even, I think, backed up Hatton and said that it was closer than it should be. But from an overall betting odds, I would have thought, like, it's more shocking that JT and Rory aren't 16-1 and then he's 18-1. Like, I would see that and be obviously they know way more than I do.
Obviously, so. the guys at VegasInsider.com know it. They know obviously more than we apparently know on this. I have a discrepancy. I have actually a discrepancy near the top.
Really?
I have a discrepancy with John Rahm. I know he's world number two, but let's be honest. He has not played well.
He shot 59. What are you talking about?
Come on.
What?
You look at his overall season.
I'm not discrediting that, but
okay, that's what I'm talking about.
He's still where he is in the world golf ranking.
Yeah.
The man just shot 59. He's not playing well. I mean, yeah, statistically overall from a finish perspective, but I mean, he did have a very good round.
Is this gonna be like if you're not first, you're last again? Hey, going down that?
You had to pull out there, and I just want to say, Tim Summers, I appreciate you following along in my footsteps and understanding where I'm coming from. Because if you ain't first, you're last. That's what Ricky Bobby has taught me, and Ed is right. And yes, I am, because you know what? Quite frankly, someone's got to say it, and I'll be the outlier, and I'll say it because it's truth. The man shot 59. Have any of you shot 59 in your life?
Yes.
You have not shot 59.
I stopped at 16.
Okay, well, that don't count. All right. We're not talking Tiger Woods.
I've shot 63. Have you shot that?
No, I've shot 68, but that's what have you.
I've shot 64.
Yeah, haha, he shot 64. No, we're not talking Tiger Woods. We're not talking stopping on the 16th. He shot 59. He's still at where he is in the world golf ranking. Do I think his overall finish better? No.
Will John Rahm win this week? No, he won't.
I'm just saying I can understand where that.
Okay, so anyone that's listening right now, Christian says do not put money on John Rahm.
Well, I mean,
look, you got to have a good short game at this track this week. And no offense to John Rahm, but
my putting game wouldn't work there.
I'm just saying, no offense to Rahm, but when Rob doesn't hit a putt the way he wants to, he gets all pissy, and the next thing you know, his attitude takes into effect. I don't see Rahm winning.
He did make a pretty impressive putt there on that one that put on the right blinker at Riviera. That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right. So anyway, let's recap it one last time. Good folks at VegasInsider.com. DJ 6-1, Rahm 11-2, Xander Schauffele 14-1, Rory 16-1, JT, Patrick Cantlay, and Tyrrell Hatton all at 18-1. If you are putting money, go check out our friends over at VegasInsider.com. I'm sure they would be able – what's that?
Make sure you gamble responsibly, obviously.
And gamble responsibly, yes, absolutely. But so now let's talk about
better picks. You know, you'll hear him here in a second from me. Just throwing that
out. So now we're going to change it up this week, boys, because I make the rules and the rules have changed. So our game this week, because there's two events going simultaneously, we are eliminating the dark horse of pick for concession.
What the heck? I had a dark horse ready to go. This is unbelievable.
They're the top players in the world. How can you have a dark horse in the top players of the world?
Don't matter.
You could do it off like a over 60-1 odds.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, we're going to go pick from Puerto Rico and a pick from concession. And just because Andrew's over there being pissy, I'm going to change it up and we're going to go with Puerto Rico first. And since I'm the one talking about it, I'm going to go with Thomas Peters.
Phenomenal pick, but you're not winning.
Okay.
The man that is going to be atop of the Puerto Rico Open is going to be none other than Texas alum, Doug Gim.
Really?
Doug Gim. He's played really well. He had a phenomenal showing. I believe it was down in the Bahamas.
Another windy location.
He again plays in Texas. They always talk about the Texas winds, keeping it under the wind.
Weren't you hanging out with him at the putting green at Shinnecock?
It was not the putting green. It was the walkway. I was walking beside him from the driving range to the putting green. And no, I was not following him like a.
Were you stalking him?
I was not stalking him like a little schoolgirl. For those listening at home, I was just happened to be walking side by side because, ironically enough,
Were you asking for putting strokes and information?
No, I was asking actually for his photo, which I do have. I do have, but I was actually walking over there because no other than Tiger Woods was on the putting green, and well, when Tiger's on a putting green, you follow. So, I think Doug Gim is a phenomenal player. I think he's very close. He's had some struggles. He's come out and said that he's had some struggles, but you know, I think this is a type of a course where, again, it's windy conditions. He's got a chance to turn it around, and Doug Gim, that's my pick.
All right, Christian, what you got?
I like it. Well, first off, there's a name on the leaderboard in the Puerto Rico Open that we haven't seen in a long, long time. Now, he's not my pick, but Smiley Kaufman is in the field in the Puerto Rico Open. He is in the field.
I did see that.
Okay, so
Before you go any further, some other names that jumped out. Brendan Grace is in that field this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Bill Haas is in the field this week.
Mm-hmm.
Emiliano
Grillo is in the field this week. I wish we see more of, because they're phenomenal players, and I do wish that we could see them on top of leaderboards more. Personally, that's me, right? I think Grillo's a young up-and-coming star, but we can get into that another day. But my pick is none other than Ollie Snyderjans.
Can you say that, like, without the weird whatever you're
Ollie Snyderjans.
that's a good pick. I'm curious your opinion, if it's because, you know, the weight distribution without wearing a typically hat, but or what the actual reasoning was behind
guys, it, just but. A good ball flitter in Puerto Rico. It's always windy, especially up against the coast where they are. There's going to be high winds there, and I think he can just flight the ball perfectly, and no other reason besides that. And that's my pick.
Okay, well, I'll tell you one that was also on the list you guys didn't mention when you guys were talking about people that are surprising on there. Guy like Ricky Barnes is on that list right now. Haven't heard of him in forever. So there's some surprising names.
I believe another UT guy, right?
Well, I don't know. I can't remember. But Bo Hosler, another Texas guy.
You got a whole Texas theme going right now, right?
Hook 'em horns, baby. Hook 'em horns.
All right.
If Texas University is listening biggest. To this, and you want to invite us down to check out your phenomenal golf facility that is absolutely world-renowned, from what I've heard, we would love to go try it out. I've heard there's a phenomenal putting green that I can maybe work on my putting at. That would be even better. Just throwing that out there. We'll go with it.
Christian, he's the only one that's making the continued thing about his putting.
Listen, I need to work on my putting.
I haven't said a word.
I'm going to beat you guys this year, and that is going to happen only because of working on my putting. That's it.
All right.
I agree. Arguably the biggest name down in Puerto Rico that's not in Florida this week is Ian Poulter.
Yeah, I did. Yep, did Ian see Poulter's that
down there. So, but hey, we got a thriller of a tournament coming up here tomorrow. It's going to be a shootout. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're talking top players in the world. I'm curious to see who you guys got, who your dark horse picks are. Who wants to lead it off?
Well, there is no dark horse. I changed the rules.
Oh, you did? Okay, my apologies.
Change the rule.
So one pick. Everybody knows the rules. My guy's going to win. I can go first if you guys want.
Well, just feel free to steal my guy.
My guy – no, I don't think I'm going to steal your guy. But my first and foremost, my guy's Tommy Fleetwood.
Really?
The hair himself?
Yep.
I would have thought Andrew would have taken him, given the fact of his haircut.
Well, Andrew's only got three guys that he always picks from.
Well, Andrew's only got about three hairs left also. So.
Well, after the butchery of supercuts, yeah, that is right. You're not wrong. That was not going to be my pick, but I'm surprised that you went with him. I can see it, but
– Yeah, I actually don't see it. I mean, he's a game – if we take what Tony said, game management, control himself – Tommy can do that for the most part, but I don't all right, we'll see how it plays out, Christian.
Yep.
Dad?
Terrell Hatton.
Okay.
I was not expecting you to pick that, to be honest with you.
I'm going there. I think we haven't seen him. Actually, I take that back. We have seen him up against some of these guys, some of the top players, and he stared them down and beat them. Most notably, Rory, I think, and JT were over in Dubai, and he's beaten them, and I think he's ready to challenge at the golf championships.
You're wrong, but okay.
All right.
Well, who are you going to pick? Because I can't wait to hear your pick.
Yeah, I'm mesmerized.
It's not JT.
You know, you picked JT, Tony Finau, or basically Phil all season, so I'm curious. It's not JT. Pick Dustin.
It's not Rory, and it's not Finau.
I bet you he takes Dustin Johnson before he says it, Alan.
No, it is. You are correct. Our boys over at Perfect Practice said it. It's enough of a reason for me. They obviously know that his putting game is on point, and clearly Tony has said that game management and being able to understand how to play the game is important. That man, I'll say it again, is probably one of the best at it right now in the golf world.
That's why he's number one.
Which is why he's number one.
And well, he finished last week, so because he didn't win, so he'll finish last again this week.
Oh.
Listen, I mean, at least my guys made the
cut. First, so. You're last.
At least my guys made the cut. I mean, we made it to the
Hey, weekend, man, so. We've had that. You picked Phil a few weeks ago.
We're going to go all the way back to say that you told me that Tiger Woods is not making the cut at Augusta and that Ricky was going to make the cut. Meanwhile, Ricky's not even slated to make the 2021 Masters right now. So
I agree. I picked out. I said Tiger wasn't going to make the cut because of the way he was playing. That was a mistake I made. Yeah. I didn't have a bad pick like Phil being plus 12, plus 10.
I mean, I don't know.
All right,
those guys didn't play very well.
The debate will rage, and I look forward to recording on Sunday at the conclusion of the tournament for our Monday show. I'm sure, folks, throughout the golf tournament weekends, as the leaderboards change, you usually see a screenshot and the names are circled and they're sent to each of us. And I'm sure there'll be a few of those comments back and forth at some point as Tyrrell Hatton wins.
I pray that you are wrong because I can't stand another week of listening to your nonsense. Just being honest.
Okay. All right, Christian, 18th green, flag sticks in. What you got?
Yeah, hopefully my guy wins. You know, I hope Tommy can get it done this week. I'd love to see somebody like him or Tyrrell Hatton get it done this week, to be honest with you, because, you know, we're always used to seeing the top players in the world. I'd love to see somebody that doesn't really win often in these World Golf Championships to get it done. So it'll be interesting to see if that happens. But obviously, guys, I say it every week, make sure to follow us on all social media accounts. We're growing rapidly every day. You know, your continued support means the world to us. You know, if there's anything that we can do to get better for you guys, if we're missing something, please let us know and stuff like that. So, you know, make sure to follow us on social media accounts, make sure to keep downloading our shows because it means a great deal to us. And, hopefully you guys' putting isn't as bad as Andrew's. So I hope you guys have a great week and we'll see you guys on Sunday.
My closing thoughts are, out to Tiger, his family, his kids. We wish you guys, you know, all of our best right now. It's a really shitty situation to say that, frankly. But that being said, on a positive note, it's always a great thing to be able to get together with you guys, be able to enjoy, you know, an hour of craziness to kind of relieve some stress here during the middle of the work week. And, you know, for everyone, we've seen that the podcast subscribers has continued to go up. Our downloads have continued to go up. Followers on everything has been continuing to go up. And it's only because, you know, we're just having fun and enjoying the ride with you guys as fans and listeners. And we greatly appreciate all the support we've gotten. If I can ask, as I always usually typically do, please do us a favor, tell a friend, tell a family member, whoever it may be, you know, your one extra friend is going to help us out a long way. It's going to continue to allow us to do all the fun stuff that we want to do and continue offering out some of the cool prizes that we have in store and on the way as well. But you guys all stay safe. We will see you guys on Monday for our Monday podcast to wrap up the weekend, where Dustin Johnson will be sinking a birdie putt on 18 to win. I'm calling my shot right now. And you guys have a good one.
All right, and my comments are this. Please, again, follow us on social media, Facebook, Golf Talk Live, Twitter, Golf Talk_Live, Instagram, Golf Talk Live. And guess what? Andrew didn't bring the hat so we could pick the winner. So look for a special drawing announcement. He didn't bring the hat because it's covering his haircut. Look for a special announcement for the winner of our High Heat 257 plus wood with the turf clutter sole. So, folks, Christian, hit it long and straight because
beat short and crooked.